Is it recording? Yes, it's recording. I'm back. Okay, I know I owed y'all an episode last week, which I didn't get a chance to record because it was spring break. Well, not for Arlie. Arlie only had spring break for 4 or 5 days, but it was spring break in Jersey, which is where most of my family is, as y'all know. And I let Arlie's cousins come over for the week, and whew. It was stressful because I was a mother of three. So, yeah, I didn't get a chance to record. But, you know, it's the last week of Ramadan. So I woke up to eat and pray. And I was about to go back to sleep. And I really couldn't go back to sleep. I was tossing and turning. And I'm like, y'all must be putting a spell on me. Because I felt like it just clicked in my mind. Like, you didn't record an episode. And I felt like that's why I couldn't go to sleep. So that's why I'm recording the episode now. But, yeah, I'm so excited. Before I even get into what we're going to talk about today, we are in the last 4 to 5 days of Ramadan. I can't wait. I'm going to do an episode, I guess, once it's over to just see, to talk about my experience and what my reflection was. But I cannot urge y'all enough to fast. Like, every spiritual practice that I know of incorporates fasting in one way or another. And I'm telling you, there's a reason why. Like, it is such a soul-lifting experience. But we're going to get into our topic today, which I really wanted to talk about friendship. For me, this is going to be the red flags of friendships. I have 5 red flags that I have developed and analyzed and live by when it comes to friendships and the ones that you should keep and the ones that you should stay away from. So let me just tell you my perspective on friendship. I feel like I really have, I didn't really have a solid foundation of what it means to be a friend until recently, like in the last year or two. And I feel like I've never had solid qualifications for someone to be my friend. I think a part of that is because I grew up with 2 sisters that are close in age. And I realized like, what a lot of y'all look for in friendship, I have in my siblings. Like, I never was the type to be like, to be my friend, you gotta ride or die for me. You gotta do this for me. You gotta do that. Because I got sisters, like, and I got 2 Capricorn sisters at that. Like, if you know any Capricorns or have any Capricorns in your life, you know how above and beyond they go for the people that they love. And there's no comparison. And then if you grew up with siblings, there's a different relationship. Like, your friends, well, at least for what my understanding, when you have friends, they have to like you first, even for you to meet that category of friendship. Like, they have to decide that they like you or they like your personality. If you grow up with siblings and y'all grow a bond, it's like they don't even got to like you. Like, my sisters would give me a kidney in the middle of an argument, and I could slap my sisters and they in the same second they're going to give me a kidney. I don't think I know any friends that would do that. Like, so because of that, I think my friendship, my qualifications for a friend was always surface level. Like, yeah, I just got to like you. You know what I'm saying? I just got to like you. And then we just got to have at least one thing in common. So, you know, that'll be the thing that we could bond on. But as I gotten older and just had life changing experiences, like having a kid and just like life, like, you know, when you're adult, life really starts to happen. Most of my life, like all of us, were spent in school. So it's like all your friends were kind of made or set up for you anyway. You live in a certain, you go to a certain school, you're around the same people all the time. And then I went on to college. It was the same thing. I lived on campus. But now I can honestly say at this adult age, the friends that I have are really a reflection of who I am. Like, they're really a reflection of who I am at my core, my values. Like, our values are the same. I don't care how long we've known each other. If you're my friend right now, we share somewhat of the same values. It's deeper than just us liking the same thing. It's deeper than us just having fun when we hang out with each other. It's a value thing for me. But here is, I feel like I can't breathe. I did have to walk up the steps. I'm recording in my daughter's room again because she's sleeping in my room. So I guess the first red flag, that I had to learn through experience is I avoid friends who are boy crazy. This is specific to female friends. If you are boy crazy, now, I used to be the friend that, like, Well, I'm still that friend. Like, I don't really, I'm not, you know, you have those friends that's so deeply invested in your relationships, like almost like they act like they're your man in a sense. So they're really like overprotective of you when it comes to the people you date, and they're just kind of too injected into your business. I'm not that type of person, and I've never been that type of person. So that's why, like, you know, if you was that friend that, like, want to do you with guys, I'll be a listening ear and give you advice. But outside of that, I'm on my business for the most part. But I come to realize that people who are boy crazy have certain qualities that trickles into friendships that makes that quality a red flag. One of the ones is people who are boy crazy never pick quality boys. And when I say quality, it's like they don't treat them well. That is an interesting thing to me about people who are boy crazy, because if you think about like somebody who's like fashion crazy, like they always picking the luxury of clothes, they always spending big bucks on clothes, or someone who's into, like people who are into something, they always pick the best of the best or the high quality. But something about people who are boy crazy, they always pick the low quality boys. And I emphasize boys. I don't care what age, they're boys. Like they're usually the people that don't treat them well. And how that trickles into friendship is, one, the obvious, where you like, you know, they go through certain things that just becomes draining to your energy, because especially if you're their friend, close friend, the person that they vent to, after a while, constantly hearing repeated stories of different individuals or different, depending on how long y'all been in friends, and every aspect of their, every stage of their life, they have this type of experience, and you are being that shoulder to lean on. It is draining, because you know my favorite quote, I see everything but themselves. So you are forced to sit there and see where the problem lies, and they don't see it. All they see is they treat each heartbreaker, each boy, like it's a new instance. And it's like, no, you always go through this and it's you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Is that part in itself is really draining. Like, I feel like I don't care how long we've been friends, I need to get paid for the type of drama that people who are boy crazy dump on you. Like, there's that. And I think also their expectations of friendship become extremely unrealistic and unfair, because a lot of times people who are women who are boy crazy, or you know, people who are boy crazy, they depend on their friends in a way that they can't depend on their partner, but then they will switch up on the friend, or they will put their friend's needs last or below this partner. You know what I'm saying? So they're the friend that's like, you know, I by no means no hater. If you like, oh, I gotta go, my man calling me. But when it's your birthday, you want me to go above beyond because you got the nigga that don't even do shit for you for your birthday. Or like, you know what I'm saying? It's like the treatment don't be given what it's supposed to give. Like if I'm the one that's always here for you, and not even basic emotional stuff, but physical needs. Like I'm the one that you can rely on. Like, and you are dating somebody that you can't even rely on, but you are so crazy. Like the addiction, because usually people who are boy crazy, it's definitely an insecurity issue and nothing to do with the actual boy. They're just the physical manifestation of what they're battling with inside. So their need to be validated by this person, or like by that love, or that need of a boy, be more for them and less about the boy, clearly. So it's like they are addicted. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like their treatment, even though it may come off like they treat the people that they date better than their friends, it really is they're treating their addiction. They value their addiction to the addiction to the need of validation, of love, or whatever the case, or to feel wanted, or to avoid rejection. They value that more than they value relationships. And that is something that is just not going to, that's just not going to fly. So boy crazy is really a red flag. And usually that is something I catch very early on, because I'm one of those people that people like to randomly just vent to about. And it's not, for me, boy crazy is not, oh, you date a lot of boys. Because if you into pimping these hoes, I support that. I support people living in their truth and living the best life that they want to live. So boy crazy to me is not necessarily, oh, you got a lot of boys, or you go crazy, you a hoe, or whatever people try to make it seem. Boy crazy is really, you can have one boy or like be in one relationship and be boy crazy. In a sense that you don't value yourself. You don't value yourself in the name of love. And I think that goes hand in hand with people who value money more. Like, you cannot trust people like that. If you cannot trust anyone who would do anything for money, you cannot trust anyone who would do anything for love. Like, yeah, love will make you do a lot of things. And love is a great motivation or inspiration to do some great things. But if you can ruin your own life in the name of love, there is so much loyalty I can expect of you for me. So that is really my major thing about people being boy crazy. It's just like, I'll be listening to sort of the things that you like, you know, especially as a friend, you know, somebody like, wow, you really care about this, but you care about, let's say it's something that they really care about, and you see that they neglected that care for the name of love. And first of all, if someone loves you, that's not something they'll ever make you compromise your values or the things that are important to you. And how quickly you are able to abandon that for yourself, for this person, tells me all I need to know. So that's number one. Number two is clinginess. Now, this was one thing for me that's been a red flag from birth, okay? Clinginess, first of all, clinginess is for sure a specific trigger for me. It's because just my natural personality of being like, I don't know what it is about my personality where I can figure a lot of things out. I can, like, you know, I'm a person that is easy to naturally lean on. And I already have that responsibility in my day-to-day life, in my role in my family. Like, I have a kid. So I really pay attention to people who see that quality of me and then want to abuse it. And that to me is what clinginess is. It's like, not just I want to be around you all the time, or I want to be up under you. It's like I just rely on you for everything. And I tend to attract that. If you have a personality like mine, you have usually people who are very, not independent in the sense of do everything yourself, but very self-sufficient, like very aware of themselves, very confident, very not obsessive over people, usually have a lot of people around them, because people who lack that draw to that type of energy. It's like a je ne sais quoi for them. Like, oh my God, what is it? Like, she's just like, you know what I'm saying? And then they obsess over it. So it's like, I really watch out for people who, like, friends who act like they can't live without me. Like, I want, as a friend, I want you to love being around me. I want you to want to be around me, clearly. I don't want you to feel like you need me. That type of energy, it makes me feel like clearly you're not here for me. Once you feel like you need somebody, it's not the person that you need, it's the quality about them that you're draining. And we feel that. If you're an empath like me, you feel it. Like, I had somebody, I had a friend once, and we're not friends now, due to something that kind of connects to this type of quality or this type of trait. This girl used to act like she couldn't live without me. And it used to bother me. But I used to feel bad. Like, when I was younger, I didn't have the verbiage for this type of behavior. So I used to always feel like I'm a bad person. I'm just not emotional. I'm just not this. But it's like, it's something about how much she used to go above and beyond for me that just used to make me so uncomfortable. It was like, I remember we were like, and I'm the friend, if you my friend, I'm gonna bring you around my other friends. Like, I just have so much, not to say I'm a friend whore, but I'm a social person and I just like a good time. Like, everything don't gotta be that deep. Like, all the other relationships we have in life are deep. Like, our romantic relationship, deep. Our family relationship, deep. I want friendships that are deep, but come on. Like, it should be at least the friendships in your life should be the least stressful relationship in your life. Every other relationship, you can't knock that. Family is like, I was born with them. I'm blood with them. So even if I'm annoyed with them and I hate them, they're my blood. Like, there's a level of commitment. Romantic relationship is like, this is the person I lay with. This is the person I share every aspect of my emotional being with. So yes, it's going to be some tension. Friendship, it should never be that deep. Yes, we should. Any real friendship, yeah, y'all going to have arguments. Y'all going to have disagreements. But ain't no way a friendship should be draining you like that's your fucking man or something like that. That is wild to me. So this person, she just would go above me. When I bring her around other friends, she'll be like, are you going to stay with me? Are you going to be like, I'm only going when you're going, but not in a, like, you know, some people have friends, like groups, like, I don't want to go because I'm weird around them. But like, literally, it's like, I need you to be there. And I know one story I have that was like a icing on the cake. It was like, you know, a year or two after I graduated college, I still haven't found a job in my field, in my career. And I met up with a bunch of friends, including this friend, to we went to, what was that seafood spot? I forgot what it's called. Joe's Crab Shack. We went to Joe's Crab Shack. One of my friends was in town from down south. He's a guy. So we was all there and we was all chit-chatting. He was telling me how, you know, he's working as at the school. He's working at a college. He's like in a college somewhere. I think he was working at a college. So I was like, oh, snap. Like, that's kind of I either wanted to work in media or I wanted to work on a college campus. Like, wanted to be in campus life type vibe or whatever. So I was like, oh, my God, I really am trying to get a job. Like, I was like, I would want to be a campus director or something like that. And he was like, yeah, I know a lot of people at my old college. Like, he went to Shaw. He was like, I could get you connected. He's like, but would you move down to North Carolina? You know, at the time, I had no kids. I was willing to do anything. One thing about me, the life I live comes before anything, okay? People would never believe that I have detachment, like issues with, like, you know, I'd be scared to move places by myself. I'd be scared. Like, I'm shy. I actually have a lot of qualities that people don't believe that I have because of how adventurous I come off. It's just that I don't let my fear or my limitations of being afraid to be alone, being shy, being scared to meet new people stop me from the life that I deserve to live. Cause baby, we only get one. So I was like, yeah, like, I don't know what the fuck was in North Carolina. I don't even know what's in North Carolina. I have, to this day, have never been to North Carolina. And I was like, yeah, I will relocate. Shit, if I get a job in my field, like, that's big to me. Like, I didn't go to college to come pay loans and not be working in my field. So that's what I mean by the importance of the life that I say I want comes before any type of fear or emotion that I may be experiencing. So I was like, at the time I was working a minimum wage job. Yes, I will move to the neck of the woods for a career before I stay here and be working a minimum wage job and just to say I'm around people I'm comfortable with. So long story short, I was like, yeah, let me know, blah, blah, blah. We had that little chat. It was really like a 10-15 minute chat because it was a friend's outing. Mad people was there. It was just a quick chat. We stayed there for another hour or two. We was drinking, having fun. It was a whole key. It was about 7-8 of us. Now, this particular friend, me and her drove together. Like, she drove with me to the place. We get in a car. She was like, oh, I got to talk to you. She used to do things like this all the time. This used to annoy me. Like, I also, y'all know this, grew up with my father most of my life. Like, my mom was deported. Y'all know the story. So my father raised me as a single father for about 14 years before he passed. I don't do female energy in a very in a romantic level. Like, not to say on a lesbian shit, but like certain qualities in friendships with females in it, like, I don't have that. Like, I will cry on the phone with my male friends before I cry on the phone with female friends. And the only female friends that I really sit and cry with is my friends that act like niggas. Like, they're real niggas like me. I don't know. Certain things. So when, you know how when you do be like, I gotta talk to you later. Like, it was when a female said to me, I gotta talk to you, and your heart drop. It was that type of vibe. And I don't like that type of energy coming from friendships. Like, say what you gotta say now. I gotta talk to you later. Like, don't be weird. Like, but she's like, I gotta talk to you. Yeah, when you drop me off. I was like, okay. So we're driving. Now I'm just annoyed because I'm just like extra, extra, extra. We finally get to her house where I was dropping her off to. And she was like, yeah, when you was telling such and such that you would move to North Carolina, it's like you would really leave me. And I don't know what I would do. Yes, y'all. She started bawling. When I say snot nose bawling. And this is the things that had me. This is another reason why I can't really date people who are clingy. I mean, have friends that are clingy because they really make me feel like I'm a bad person. But now that I have the verbiage that I have and the the understanding that I have, I realized I'm not a bad person. But at the time, I'm like, this girl is crying, but why am I annoyed? Like, are you kidding me right now? I was so, like, I don't even have the words to describe the emotion that I had. But it was extreme annoyance, extreme pressure, extreme, like, even my family who truly, like, whose lives I truly affect. Like, these are the people I grew up with all my life. These are the people that are my blood, like, that would never react like that if I said I'm going to do something to better my life. That's the thing about clinginess. People who are clingy have a level of stagnancy to them that they will draw, they will make that your life too. Like, why would me going to live in another state really make you, like, I would be sad too. I love my friends, and I'll be sad too if my friends moved out of state. I'll be sad if I felt like I could, but baby, we will adjust. That is friendships, baby. Two of my closest, I stop everything just to, like, I truly believe my life will be altered. Like, my day-to-day life will be altered if I wasn't their friends. Do not live in the state with me. Two of my closest, like, so I'm just like, girl, this, like, it was just too much. And now that I have the understanding that I have, I was like, it's not me. People like that also do not have a level of loyalty to you. So when you, what ended up happening is when you adjust, me and this person fell out after I had a baby. And I think a lot of it was, the specific reason wasn't this, but the core of it was I wasn't who I was anymore, like used to be. I'm a mom now. Like, my whole brain chemistry changed. The things that are important to me are different. The things that is, you know what I'm saying? I don't have the patience for the things that I used to have patience for. And we ended up falling out because of that. But people like that, or friends like that, you can't really rely on, because once you change, once you elevate, once you evolve, whatever that looks like for you, those are the ones that don't stand the test of time. They don't stand the, you know what I'm saying? The friendships that I told you about, that tower close, when I think about all the phases we went through a phase of young, broken, fun. We went through a phase of focusing on my life and trying to get my life in order. We went through a phase of emotion, grief, losing. We went through so many phases and have still stand strong. Those are the type of friendships that you want. People who are clingy and exhibit behaviors of, I am going to die without you, will not evolve. Because what it means is that there's something about you that they need. And if that parts of you change or doesn't benefit them in a way, then they don't need you anymore. So, for example, it's like people who are clingy. It's like, okay, I was always the show up for you friend, or I was the one that I'll stay on the phone with you for hours for you to vent. If I'm a mom now, not to say this is my specific, but just a given example, when I'm a mom now, I might not be able to stay on the phone that long. I might not have the emotional capacity that I had when I was young and free to listen to some of your problems. And if that changed, then it's like, oh, I don't need you anymore. So it's crazy, because friends that are clingy, you be thinking those are your most ride or die. Like, well, she would go crazy. And this is a person that exhibit those type of behaviors. Like, she will make it known. Like, she don't care. She was so funny, though, because I will introduce her to friends, and she'd be super cool with my friends. And if she felt like they did something shady to me, she'd be like, I don't give a fuck. I'll punch her in the face right now. Like, she did, like, she had no loyalty to it. Like, she did that. She just was ready to just dummy out for me. And you would think that's a good trait, but it wasn't for me. That's what I had to realize. It was for qualities that I exhibited that she needed. And that's not a good thing. You want people in your life that want you for you, at your best, at your worst, at your evolve, at your distant, at your whatever phase you're going through. You want that friend that's there for all of that, not someone who is only there because you exhibit qualities that they need in their life. So that's number two, clingy. Oh, this is gonna be a long episode because I got a few. Friends who don't compliment or mention your achievements. That is a major red flag for me, because these are usually the friends that are secretly envious of you. And I don't know if I'm an empath. I say this all the time, and I'm great with picking up energy. I still to this day have a reservation with talking about my accomplishments to friends, and because I don't want it to seem like I'm bragging. And that, if you feel that, that means that you've had people in your life, or there is someone in your life who truly envy you. Because I feel like that emotion don't come out of nowhere. It should never feel like you're bragging when you are expressing either someone, not even, maybe not even to that particular person, but somebody in your life have made you, have given you an energy of envy. And now you follow it, you carry it with you. For me, I don't know specifically who it was, but I know with my type of personality type, I've always, and it wasn't always friends, it was adults, it was this. I always experienced energy of, I don't know, feeling like people were, I hate the word envy. When I say I hate the word envy, I don't know, I don't like to feel like people envy me. I feel like I don't have nothing that the next person can't have. But I've always experienced that energy where people didn't like secretly didn't like me for who I am. And it's going to be the thing that they admire about you when they first like meet you. And then like once they in it, I saw this. It was a TikTok click about this. Like once people get closer to you when they notice you have a quality that they don't have. Like, ooh, how she get that? They be so amazed by it. And when they get in it and they realize it's a je ne sais quoi, it's like a thing about you that you were just born with and you just have, then it turns into envy. And I'm so fearful of envy. Like I think my dad instilled this in me because my dad had a brother, a half brother, who was very, very jealous of my dad. And y'all know I'm African. And he like did black magic, like on my dad trying to do my dad and my dad's full sister. Like she was just envious. So my dad always grew up telling me speeches of envy, not other people envying me, but he always just talked about the importance of never be jealous of your friends, never be jealous of people, never feel like you can't get nothing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just about the power of envy and jealousy and how it can ruin your life. So I don't know. I think that has always put an eye out for the fear of people envying me. And I would dumb myself down a lot just to not experience that or whatever. But, yeah, I have a perfect example. I had a friend, who we ain't friends no more either. We had whatever. She was saying like, oh, you don't support me the way I want to, which I thought was weird. Cause this is the friend that I feel like I supported in the best ways that I like more than any other friend that I had. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, she like, I have events. You don't like show up early. You don't like show up early to help me. And this is after I had my kid. You don't show up early to help me set up, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I was like, but I brought so much people to your event. Like, I don't care. Like, you saying you the one who brought people. She envied, to this day, I do, like, my socialness. Like, I think her biggest thing was, like, I was like her only friend and I was the person that had a lot of friends. And I think that was the demise of our friendship because she didn't like that I had other friends. That's what I felt. I felt like she didn't like that everyone had the same level of access to me. And that is just me. The only people, when it comes to access, when I have my man, no other man is going to have access to me the way my man have access to me. And no, that's it. After everything else, like even family, no one's going to have access to me the way my parents, the people who birthed me, and the people in my immediate family. That's when I could, okay, it depends. Friendship, I'm either going all the way or not at all. Like, you know what I'm saying? And how I choose, like, okay, if it's two friends' birthday at the time, I'm going to go to, it's not even about the closest friend birthday. It's just, I'm going to do what makes sense or the person that I'm closest to or whatever. But otherwise, everyone gonna have the same access. What I can do for you, I would do. Whether I met you yesterday or you've been in my life since kindergarten. That's the when you a good person, you're just a good person. I don't know how to turn certain shit off. And this is why if you know me, you know I'll be quick to cut somebody off because I don't know how to half-ass anything. Like if you a friend where it's like, I can't really show up for you because you just not going to be my friend for real. Because I don't know how to half-ass anything. I don't know how to turn it off. And I think she didn't like that, but I don't think it was because of me. It's also, I think, because she didn't exude that for whatever reason. I know we were friends for a long time. So she was the girl that nobody liked. All the girls wanted to fight her, like that type of stuff. So when we were having that talk and I was mentioning like and the way my tone, you gonna always catch these type of people who envy you or like, you know, don't mention the good in you. You gonna always catch them in their tone and how they speak about your qualities, right? Because if I don't do anything else, everybody know me. I ain't the friend that's gonna cook the best meal for you. I'm not the friend that the girly girl that you, my friends joke about this. Don't ask me, is my outfit cute? I'm going to just say, yeah. Because if you like it, because I know if I like it, I'm going to love it. If you like it, you know what I'm saying? So I don't care about that type of stuff. That's just not my expertise. But one thing about it is I'm going to show up and I'm going to, my socialness, my light, I'm going to bring light into your life. That's just my it factor. And the way people will talk about what is your it factor, the tone in which they talk about it tells you everything you need to know. So when I said, what do you mean I don't support your events? I posted it. I made sure I bought all of my friends out. Like, this person was a childhood friend and I had half of the event was all my college friends. That is the way I love, and that's how I like to be loved too. What you like? This particular friend I had an event. She bought one friend, and I thanked her for the whole night. She told her coworker to come, and that literally warmed my heart. Like, you know, especially people who do events, who need, like, who have a business. What? Like, so when I said that, she instantly got defensive on some, what you mean you the reason? Like, as if I said, I'm the reason why people came to your event, which that wasn't my tone. It was my way of saying, hey, this is how I supported you. This is how I show my love. This, yeah, I may not have been able to come and help you set up in the beginning, or may have not naturally thought to go my way to do that, but I made sure people showed up. Like, but yeah, she like, her tone just made me felt like I said something wrong. And that, at the time, I didn't realize it was a super red flag. So people who don't compliment, and I'm not saying compliment, they don't got to say, oh, you pretty, you this. But something that obvious, and it's always obvious because it's the one thing they come to you for. Like, if you're the friend that always, people always ask, oh, my outfit, like, should I wear this? What should I wear? And this person ain't never compliment you on an outfit that you had on, hater. If you're the friend that, like, always have these business achievements, blah, 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 and they hit you up to ask for advice about business, but ain't never compliment you on the success or your ability to launch a business, hater. Like, these are how you flag the haters. They come to you for your it, but they never compliment you on it. And it don't even got to be external life values, even character. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, character. Oh my God, you always just make me feel happy, make me feel up, but they don't verbalize that. You know what I'm saying? And I don't care. Everyone have different love languages. And yes, people don't express themselves. Everyone doesn't express themselves the same, but you would know. They could acknowledge it. Acknowledgement comes in so many forms. And when people go out their way to not acknowledge your best qualities, red flag, red flag. A fifth thing is someone who is overly obsessively gossipy. People who obsess, who like to gossip a lot, and they don't know how to self-reflect. I'm gonna put that in one. That is a major red flag for me. Like, all right, let's be real. We all gossip, okay? We all gossip. We all, like, we don't do that. It's just the natural human flaw. Like, but there's a certain type of gossipy in people that I don't like. Like, if we're talking about somebody or we're talking about a story we hear and you going in, like, it's one thing. Gossip is, to me, healthy. I wouldn't say any health gossip is healthy. This is why I love Ramadan. As we fast, the biggest thing, like, a lot of people who are not Muslim just think the biggest thing is giving up food. That's the easiest. A big part of fasting during Ramadan is that you can't gossip. Like, and the sad part is, this is why during Ramadan, I really don't talk to a lot of people. Like, there's really a select people that I can talk to who, like, you know, I know gossiping would not happen. Like, you know what I'm saying? I just avoid certain conversations that, so it don't even lead to that and ruin my fast. Like, but I feel like a normal level of gossip is the story. Like, you know what I'm saying? Not the person. For example, if you hear a story like, oh, such and such, this happened to such, the story is so extravagant that you just want to express it and talk about it. But it's like, once you go into the person, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, something happens to this person, like, yeah, that's what, like, it's one thing to be like, oh, I heard this and this happened to this person. Okay, that's one form of gossip. We're talking about the situation. Then you go to, yeah, because she ugly and this is the type of gossip. Because usually once you start getting into the person, you are a hater. It's something about that person you really hate. Like, you're jealous of, you're envious of, or you get a high of feeling like, okay, well, I'm better than them. And this is why I group that with can't self-reflect. Because a lot of times when people gossip and go in on somebody, like the person, it's usually because they have qualities that this specific person have that they are not willing to admit about themselves. You know what I'm saying? So that's why people, it'd be the person with the ancient man going in about how this person, somebody else, and how they men and shit, or how they always treat ancient men. It's like, it's a way of self-hate, for real, for real. Even though it may seem like a conscious act, it's a, like, even the things that we despise about ourselves, we have to express. And if you're not a person that can self-reflect, because that's all self-reflecting is, seeing something about you that you despise and meditating on that so you can figure out whether you want to figure out why am I like this or if you want to stop. We have to express disdain. It's a pain. It's an emotion. It's an emotional pain. Just like if you get a cut and you got to scream, if you stub your toe on a whatever, like on a table, how you have to scream, you have to express that pain, or you got to say ouch, or you got to curse. It's the same thing with emotional pain. Like, so when you have qualities about yourself that you despise, it has to be expressed. And there's the people who have the maturity to self-reflect as a way of expressing it, like having the conversation with themselves and then creating actions to handle this aspect of themselves that they don't like, or that you end up expressing it in a way that you project. You project it onto someone else. So you ever been in a gossiping session with somebody and you just like, whoa, this took a left. Like, it's giving very much. You are the problem. And like, I never had the verbiage or the language for people that are like this, but I always had an emotion. Like, it just always made me super uncomfortable. And I don't know, it just made a certain wall come up with me about this person. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I never had the verbiage. So it's like, I would still be their friend because it's like, you know, I would never realize, like, oh, it's because they're projected this. It's just that I will end up having a very limited friendship. I had another friend like this who we fell out. I wouldn't say me and this person fell out, but once I started knowing myself more, I just slowly distanced myself from this person. She just will go in. And the scary part about her is she will be going in about people in her life, like her family, her close, like her, like, but going in on them as a person, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, she's just so stupid. Like, you know what I'm saying? As a person, instead of, you know, we all gossip, and not even gossip, but things that's going on with your family or something. You could love somebody. That's another pain that, you know, gossiping doesn't always have to be from a negative space. Like, you just want to kiki about somebody. Sometimes it's like an overwhelming emotion, especially when it's people that you love and you're going through something with, and having someone to kind of vent about it, even though it's about their business. It's like, you know, what happens to the people you love bothers you too. And sometimes you do need a safe listening ear to talk about that. But she would, so it's like, I never have no, like, you know, they say you can't trust somebody who talk about people and their life. And I feel like that comes with, there's discretion with that, because I feel like you should have somebody in your life that you trust enough to vent about people you love. Because sometimes, at the end of the day, loving somebody does not mean you can stop them from the worst parts of their life. But that is also emotionally draining. And sometimes you need to talk to somebody about that. But this person will be going in on the family member rather than the situation. That's how you know the difference. When they're gossiping about the person, like, they're going in on the person and not the overall situation of whatever they're gossiping about or whatever. So, major red flag for me, okay, baby? It used to turn me into a one-side friendship where the friend that I had that was like this, and we had a talk before, and so I just felt like your friendship was like a bit one-sided. But low-key, I just felt unsafe with her. I felt unsafe to be myself. I felt unsafe to share things with her. I just felt unsafe. And at the time, I didn't know, just stop being her friend instead of half-assing it. Like, I said earlier that I'm not a half-assed person, but it's like, this was when I was in the phase of, oh, this is my friend from childhood, or feeling like just because you knew somebody for so long, you had to, like, there was no, you had to keep them in your life. Like, now I don't believe that. I don't live by that. That's not my ministry no more. So, yeah. And the last one that I did not mention, this is the last one, the fifth red flag, is people who don't like, people who say they don't like people. I know y'all have made this a major flex, saying, oh, I don't like people. I don't like people. Child, you say that around me, that is going to be the fastest sign to exit stage left. People who don't like people, really, people who say they don't like people. I know people who really don't like people. And people who don't like people are okay with just sitting in a house by themselves. Like, I have a friend this is my girl, and we will just go in. Like, she's not my friend that I gotta go to the club with. She's not my friend that I gotta go out every day with. She's not the friend that I gotta do trips with. Me and sis will just be at her house or my house watching YouTube. Or we would be at my house watching movies. Like, she, and I wouldn't want to say that's not like, she's not that she don't like people. She genuinely is not a social, like, you know, socialness is not her need, is not a necessity for her, and it's not a want for hers. Those people are okay. People, and this is why I emphasize people who say I don't like people, because people who usually say I don't like people, it's a way of saying I wish more people liked me. It's reverse psychology. So when people usually say I don't like people, it's like I want people to like me, and they created an anger around the fact that people don't like them. They created a negative emotion by that fact, and they say I don't like it, but in reality, they're battling the fact that people don't like them. And you will start to notice that. Like, okay, people say I don't like people, and then now that kind of, I feel like, ties into, like, then people, the envy, the jealousy, the also not going out their way for you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, okay, you have this, you have all of that, and they don't show up in the friendship that they should because they envy, or they feel like you have it all. And this is speaking specifically to me, because socialness is something I don't have a problem with. It's because I don't obsess over it. I really don't. Like, as much as a social person I am, my biggest happy place is being in the house by myself. I know how to be around people. I know how to act around people. And I love being around the people I love. But I also love being with myself. So there's no obsession and there's no thirstiness for people. And this is why I draw people. I always say that. You're always going to lack what you obsess over. Thirsty energy never manifests to you. It only pushes it further away. So I feel like people who say they don't like people, they usually have not a strong personality, strong negative traits, strong negative habits that they are not conscious of. And it usually is what turns people off for them. And they don't even know. They don't have the self-reflection to conquer that part about them or whatever. But I've learned to make that none of my business, because before it's like, because making friends and having friends, and not even friends, just being around people and being able to experience the socialness that I like to experience. Like, one thing about me, when I like to be, I'm two extremes. When I like to be by myself, I like to be by myself. When I like to be around people, I like to be around people. Okay, I like to, come on, we're going to go all the way. Everybody, I'm the person, invite all the friends. Come on, we're going here. What you want to, let's invite this person, let's invite, come on. Like, we go hard or go home. So, I don't know what was my point of saying that. Lost my train of thought. But anyway, yeah, people who don't like people, they really struggle with just qualities about themselves. And it's not embedded in them. It's usually circumstances that make them that way. And then they have no self-reflection to heal it. So they end up turning people off from them. And I was saying I learned to mind my business with that, because I used to be the type of person that, like, it's not that serious. Like, no, yeah, like, you know, I'm the friend that used to force friends upon people. And people be like, I told you, I don't want to be around her. It's something about her. But it's like, no, I'm telling you, she's kidding. Like, I want to bring them around, because to me, it's like, what? It should not be hard for people to like you, because I also know how to see past people's negative traits, which is a curse and a blessing for me. But I always be wanting, and I'm like, yeah, just make yourself likable or whatever the case is. So I always just try to force it. But I've learned to just, child, when you see people like that, take heed and exit stage left. Because, yeah, you don't like people, which means people don't like you, which means you also, that also trickles other negative traits of jealousy, stagnancy, insecurity. Like, all these things make for a very bad friend. Someone who's insecure, someone who's jealous, someone who... There's all those, like, that type of mentality trickles all those negative traits, which makes the friendship not work. So those are my 5 red flags when it comes to friendship. Take it or leave it. But that's all I have for y'all today. Please continue to comment. Send this episode to somebody who needs to hear it, or send any of my old episodes to anybody that needs to hear it. I am going to make sure I get back on my schedule and continue to give you guys episodes as we continue. But thank y'all for tuning in. Bye.